AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden's highly anticipated interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos happening a little bit later this afternoon. Labour leader Keir Starmer has officially become the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, soundly beating the Conservatives, but that doesn't mean leading will be easy. ABC's James Longman is in London.
People in this country are angry with the Conservatives, angry at Tory infighting, angry at the way Brexit was handled, angry that public services seem to be on their knees, and angry at a spiralling cost of living. Keir Starmer has a massive mandate, but he's also got a massive challenge ahead.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled that officials can place ballot drop boxes around their communities in the election this fall, overturning its own ruling 2 years ago, limiting their use in the swing state. Reaffirming its stance that the state constitution protects a fundamental right to bodily autonomy, the Kansas Supreme Court striking down state laws regulating abortion providers. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ballot drop boxes are back in Wisconsin. The state Supreme Court issued a ruling this morning that means election clerks can use them during the August 13th primaries and the November 5th presidential election. The ruling overturned a decision from 2 years ago that said most drop boxes were illegal. President Biden is in Madison today trying to recover from his widely panned debate performance. Molly Nagel reports.
President Biden will hit the campaign trail Friday in Wisconsin. The White House said Biden will also travel to Pennsylvania this weekend and hold a press conference next week during the NATO summit in Washington. The additions to Biden's schedule follow calls from some Biden allies to make the president more visible after his rocky debate performance.
Molly Nagel reporting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A home went up in flames overnight in Sun Prairie. Firefighters were called to a home on Allen Avenue after 3:30 this morning. Authorities believe the fire started outside, then spread to the garage and the rest of the home. The residents and their dog were able to get out safely. But now that house has $250,000 in damage. Investigators are still trying to figure out what caused that fire. And it is fire season in Wisconsin, especially wildfires. This weekend, lots of people are having campfires and lighting fireworks. Always check red flag warnings before you light a campfire and have a bucket of water and a shovel nearby. Ensure kids know safe behavior around fire, and when it's time to put it out, douse it with water. You can bury the fire by shoveling dirt, too. Officials say if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave behind. Smokey Bear, who starred in the longest-running public service announcement campaign in history, turns 80 this year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
The crew is in Southern California. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a three-game series tonight at Dodgers Stadium against a Dodgers team with a 6.5-game lead in the NL West. On the mound tonight for the Brewers, Aaron Civale, making his first start after being traded to Milwaukee by the Tampa Bay Rays earlier in the week. Another player to watch out for, Garrett Mitchell, who after spending a lot of time with the Brewers minor league team in Nashville, recovering from injuries, got in a couple of times this week in Colorado. Mitchell asked if he's ready now to be an everyday starter.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I got enough games, enough at-bats. I felt like I got to kind of touch upon everything that I wanted to while down there and just continue to build the confidence to get back here.
Another setback for Wisconsin Badgers volleyball player Sarah Franklin, test showing she suffered a small fracture and sprained ankle last weekend playing against the Dominican Republic. Franklin dealing with a blood clot a year ago at this time.
Quadrilateral space syndrome, it's basically an artery that goes around your arm and there's muscles that contract every time I hit.
She says she hopes to be ready when they get started in late August. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely today, and it will be mostly cloudy with a bit of clearing by late this afternoon. Our high 73, the wind northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight, clearing 59. Tomorrow, it will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on Mad Radio, sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlife with Peach Wilder.
Jane says. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. But this is not Jane Matt and Air. This is Greg Bach. I am the co-host, but I am hosting today because Jane is off, taking a day off, relaxing on her July 5th vacation, holiday, four-day weekend. I hope she's doing well. We'll see her back on Monday. But you got me, Greg Bach. You got Calvin Butenhoff on the boards. Calvin, say hi to everyone.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. We had a great first hour. We had Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I forgot to mention, don't forget to sign up for the Recombobulation Area. It's a great website. Sign up real cheap. Easy to support, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful reporting being done, award-winning reporting being done by Dan and a team of other writers as well. But yeah, we're talking about a lot of great things this morning, talking about UK elections, talking about democracy being preserved, in my opinion, in the UK. We're also talking about baseball. That's right. We're talking about baseball right now because there's baseball happening all weekend right here on Civic Media. We didn't play yesterday. The 5th today, the 6th tomorrow, the 7th on Sunday, the Brewers are taking on the Dodgers. And you can listen to those games on stations like WRCE in Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM, WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM and 1400 AM. We'll have some pregame going on before those games start up tonight. The game starts at 9:10, but the coverage starts at 8:35. On Saturday is going to be a 6:15 game with coverage starting at 5:40, and then Sunday it's 3:10 game, 2:35 coverage starts. And also, just to let you know, you cannot listen to those games on the Civic Media app because of various things. You got to listen to them on your radio. But if you are listening to things like Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 98.3 FM and 1100 AM, you can listen to the game. Just kick back on your porch. Hopefully there's no fireworks going off during the game. Calvin, I'm not letting this go. I'm an old man. I'm embracing my old manitude, and that's all I have to say about that. But you can listen to Brewers baseball right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and enjoy yourself. Calvin, this next thing we want to talk about, you brought to my attention. It involves TikTok, which I am on TikTok. You're welcome, America, for as long as we have TikTok. Like, remember, really quick, remember when all any politician wanted to do was to ban TikTok? Calvin?
Yes, I remember.
When's the last time you've heard a single politician talk about banning TikTok?
Yeah, it's really fell out of favor, and it seemed like it happened overnight. Like, it didn't fade. I don't get an explanation of why they dropped it, but it's like they had that hearing and now nothing.
Yeah. It's like, it sounds like something that like they actually, some of Democrats and Republicans agreed on. So both sides are like, oh, well, if you like it, I guess I don't care anymore. Cause it wasn't an issue. This isn't an issue. And I said before, the thing was, the Chinese government controls TikTok. So therefore they are stealing our information, our data. Well, you signed up for Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and X and Snapchat and all these others. You give away your identification, your information all the time. So I don't think it's important enough to get rid of TikTok, but I'm glad that has at least quieted down. I don't want to say it's gone away. Nothing ever goes away, but you brought a story to my attention this morning. We were going over the planner about, I guess, some comments a TikToker's making regarding the Supreme Court decision from last week.
Yeah. So
from Monday.
So there's this young TikToker named Harry Sisson. He's a political TikToker. He makes videos about politics. He's been hired as a social media consultant for a few campaigns connected with the Democratic Party. And mm-hmm. he's been come under fire from MAGA supporters for supposedly condoning violence in a tweet he made following the Supreme Court immunity decision. I'll read that tweet for you, and I'm going to emphasize what I think are the important words that he says in it. The tweet reads, "According to the Supreme Court, Biden could now send in SEAL Team 6 to take all of them out. He could send in the military to take out Trump. He has, quote unquote, immunity for official acts now." Some of the replies that he's gotten are mind blowing.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed, Calvin, your dramatic reading of that and how "according" and "could" did the heavy lifting on that reading. Because essentially he was taking a decision and saying, well, based on the interpretation given to us by the court, which is that the court did say, and this is in reference to President Trump, the case brought before the court was that he, in official acts, has immunity. Now, they sent the decision back down to the lower court to decide whether or not January 6th, his appearance was official or unofficial. If it's considered official, then he's got immunity. If it's unofficial, then they take the next steps. But the Supreme Court said that in official actions, the president has immunity. And it sounds like this, you said Harry Sisson?
I believe that's how you say his name, yes.
Simply tweeted what everybody tweets after a Supreme Court decision is, we take the decision and we take their verdict, what they hand down, and we say, oh, well, then I guess it applies to this, this, and the other thing, too. And do I think he did a good thing by using violence? I kept reading that because one part of me is like, why'd you say that, kid? Why did you say that? That wasn't smart. But the other part was like, that is not even come close to like the top 1 billionth dangerous tweet out there on the internet right now. But as you said, and you told me, and in the article it does say MAGA supporters are coming for this kid, saying, you know, you should be going to, you know, Secret Service should be visiting your house.
Yeah,
that's an article.
I guess Trump's campaign manager Chris LaCivita quote tweeted it and said, expect a visit, apparently threatening him with some sort of investigation for I don't know what, because I don't think he did anything wrong.
Well, he didn't threaten the president. He didn't say he was going to do anything. I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I'm not a lawyer at all, but it seems like well, maybe not the smartest tweet to send out. It's definitely seems like it's covered under the First Amendment. I mean, it just seems that this kid doesn't have much to worry about. And this guy, this campaign manager, expect a visit from who? The Twitter police? I mean, I don't know if he has access to the Secret Service as a campaign manager to say, knock on this kid's door, scare him a little. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. And I forgot where I was going to go with that.
Well, and honestly, that's the thing is, like, he made a statement. We can point to 500,000 other tweets, posts, videos that MAGA supporters have put out there. I mean, there's a there's a truck decal that goes on the back of your truck that shows Joe Biden tied up in the back of your truck. It's protected speech. It's not threatening anything. It's parody. It's all those things. And I don't know. It just, once again, shows that the MAGA, they claim that we are triggered by everything, but man, when they see something like this, they get so triggered. They melt like snowflakes in the sun. If I'm not mistaken, we do have a caller on the line right now.
Yeah, we have Mark from Prairie du Sac.
Mark, welcome to the show. Welcome to Friday. What would you like to say this morning?
I'd like to say, I don't think it's hyperbolic what the kid said at all. That it's just ridiculous. Our Supreme Court had actually upended, 240 years of history, saying that, the president can do whatever he want. I mean, it's BS on the face of it because, they actually say the president takes an oath of office, and part of his constitutional duties are to faithfully execute the laws of the United States. Now, going out and committing crimes by ordering SEAL Team 6 to go out and murder your political opponents is clearly a violation of the law and not something that's for official or unofficial acts, because officially he's supposed to go through the rule of law to go after people. If he needs to prosecute people, he needs to follow the rule of law. And apparently the MAGA does not give a rip about the rule of law anymore if Donald Trump does it. I mean, Donald Trump has done things that any ordinary citizen doing would get them arrested immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Former president or not, right at this point in time, he is former president, citizen Donald Trump, who happens to be a candidate for the office of president of the United States. He has no more rights than each and every one of our ordinary citizens. He is no longer president. He doesn't have the right to pursue foreign policy under the Logan Act if he is contacting foreign leaders and saying, "Well, I'll cut a deal with you if you do this right now." He's in violation of the Logan Act and should be brought to justice for doing that.
Yeah, Mark. I mean, I get what you're saying. I understand, and I think that's a bigger issue to point at, is that while this kid is, I do see the understanding why it wasn't the smartest tweet to put out there. Maybe, I don't think it's something that's going to get a visit from the Secret Service. And if it does, it's not going to come by the hands of the Trump campaign manager. But yeah, we have to look at the literal crimes that were committed by the former president, by the people around him, people not showing up for subpoenas, not showing up to being called to testify in front of Congress. I mean, right now, Steve Bannon's starting a 4-month sentence for doing something that would have put us in jail immediately. But there are just differences apparently within, because when they are attached to the president, or the former president, it's fine. And they're more upset that this young man made the tweet than they are by the fact that the court said that the president can apparently become an unchallenged figurehead, a king, and we don't need that. They should be more upset about that, because that's a threat to democracy, not tweets. So let us know what you think. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to come back soon and keep talking. Greg Bach on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will return Monday. But don't worry, you got us for the next, 30, 40 minutes. Actually, 40 minutes. I couldn't do 30 minutes, so they'd be like, get back on air. You owe us 10 more minutes. But you can definitely interact, text, call. If you pick up that Civic Media app on your phone, you can get to us by calling or texting 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you're on the live stream right now, go ahead and leave a comment. We've been loving hearing from you. And we're talking about Twitter/X and all the scary things that people say on there. That's not really scary at all. That just gets people upset. Speaking of Twitter, Calvin, do you call it Twitter or X? Do you even care? Is Twitter, you're 24, 25?
I am, crap, no, I can't do math. 25. I'll be 26 in October.
Do you even care about this stuff? Like certain social media platforms anymore? Like, are they all just like, ugh, this is so not my generation?
I'm not a big social media user as far as like posting and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As far as consuming social media, I guess Twitter and Reddit are the two that I consume the most of. I refuse to call it X. That's not the name of it.
I go back and forth just because when we have to talk about professionally, we have to call it X because that's what it's called now. And it's what everyone calls it, but I like to still call it Twitter. And I saw a tweet from Elon Musk and he said, when's the last time you called it Twitter? And I think almost everybody was like 4 seconds ago, 10 minutes ago. I don't call it X. It sounds ridiculous when you call it X. It sounds like a futuristic social media from a movie that's going to eventually take over. I'm not putting out conspiracy theories or anything like that. We did get a text from someone listening on WAUK regarding our last topic, which was Harry Sisson put out a tweet following the Supreme Court decision on immunity for the former president. And he said, MAGA hates Harry because he's very articulate and comes with facts. He does a TikTok live every night and he interacts with the MAGAs and he challenges their beliefs. This is the mob mentality coming after him, which is absolutely true. When you come with facts, they're just going to come with you and say it's lies, it's untruths, it's fake news. Where did you get that? I don't believe that. I don't believe the science. And then they beat their chest saying, I don't believe science because I am an individual. And it's some sort of, I don't know, it's some sort of badge they claim to wear and doesn't make him sound very good in the long run to me personally. I did want to bring up something though really quick that, as you may know, I am a stand-up comic. I'm a co-owner of a comedy club called The Laughing Tap. I'm a comedian. Comedy is kind of my life, my profession, my industry. Just besides radio, I love doing this. I love talking to you every day. But I saw this come across my Twitter feed and I thought it was a joke, Calvin. It is a GoFundMe or some sort of thing for the first, it looks to be a cartoon that will be on Twitter called The New Norm. Now, before I talk about it, Calvin, do you know what All in the Family is or Archie Bunker?
I know the names and I know the character archetype, but I've never watched it.
That's perfect. You know the character archetype. So for those who don't know, Archie Bunker is a character from a TV show called All in the Family. He is a close-minded, he is bigoted, he is sexist, he is all the things, but it's written in a satirical fashion to always make him be the idiot in the room. And bring up the topics of the day, which was the mid to late 70s, and there was all sorts of things going on there. And he's one of the most beloved characters in television because he was an archetype of idiocy, and he put out information, and you know, you wanted him to grow. You knew he was somewhat a good guy, and you were rooting for him, but then he would backtrack or he'd say something dumb, and you were like, and we've all got that uncle or grandpa or grandma or whatever, that who you're just counting down the moments until they ruin Thanksgiving. But the reason why I bring it up is because I saw a post by a person, and I don't even want to mention their name. I don't even like mentioning the name of the show, but it's called The New Norm. And this cartoon basically is All in the Family. It's Archie Bunker with none of the satire, none of the irony, and worse for me as a professional comedian, none of the comedy. It is nothing but MAGA conservative talking points about this old guy who is upset about the world changing around him. And instead of just, you know, taking a half a step towards progress, not asking him to vote for Joe Biden, he's a cartoon, he's not real anyways, he just constantly complains in this 3-minute clip. And everybody around him who has any sort of progressive values, whether they are a person who is, you know, an ally, they are non-binary, they are looked to be not even the butt of the jokes. There are no jokes. There are no jokes whatsoever, Calvin. It is one of the most uncomfortable things I've watched, because I'm sitting here waiting for jokes, and all it is conversation, and the center of it is an old guy who's upset that the world is changing. And then they throw all these situations at the quote-unquote progressive or liberal people, and they can't handle it. Like, at one point, the guy's boss is a black man who's wearing the old school Washington Football's outfit. And this non-binary person just can't handle how this happens. And I'm not saying you can't write that. I'm saying there is not a joke in sight. And that is the most infuriating thing for me, because yeah, you're taking basic tropes and stereotypes and you're trying to turn them on their heads, but you're not doing anything with them, Calvin. It's just so, oh, come on. Do better than that.
Yeah, I've seen clips of it on TikTok, and all the comments are always like, still waiting on the jokes. Like, is this supposed to be funny? That kind of thing. But it's just, even if I was conservative and believed the message it was saying, it's just not funny. Like, there's not, like, it doesn't even feel like they're attempting to make jokes. Like, the premise of the government sending a non-binary person to an ultra-conservative's house to try to save the country and make him more politically correct is a funny premise. And the show does nothing with it.
Yeah. I completely agree. And that's the problem I have too, is like, when I say it's not funny, the problem is that the people who have the notion of, oh, you know, no one can say anything anymore, everyone's so sensitive, blah, blah. No, I'm not saying it's not funny because I'm offended or because I think it hurts people's feelings. It's literally not funny. There are no jokes. All you're doing is pushing your narrow-minded narrative in the form of a cartoon character who never says anything interesting. And then every character around him is dumb. Like, that's my problem overall, is that I get so angry that I have to qualify why I think something's not funny. Not because I'm offended. Not because I'm a liberal snowflake, because if you don't come with jokes, you've got nothing. And it's not just funny because you get a reaction. It's not funny because there are no jokes. With that being said, you know who isn't a joke as well? The very handsome, very capable Luke Mathers, who's joining us after the break. We're going to be talking about super pigs. Never heard of them, but we're going to talk about them very soon. Stay close. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Aaron there on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hang tight.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. Go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new report says people who call the 988 National Suicide Prevention Lifeline in Wisconsin only get help 77% of the time. Things often end badly when a person in crisis doesn't get help quickly.
And frankly, emergency departments are getting so filled up with people with severe mental health challenges that they're experiencing something called ED boarding.
Angela Kimball says that means staying in the emergency room while help is on the way. She's a mental health public policy advocate. State troopers will be watching drivers from buses and large trucks in an upcoming campaign. Wisconsin is averaging 7,000 crashes a year over the last 5 years involving large commercial trucks. 70 people died. The campaign runs all next week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The 4th of July holiday weekend is known for gathering with friends and family, grilling, and for many in Wisconsin, alcohol. Binge drinking is a significant preventable cause of death in the U.S. Monica Minsberg is a substance use intervention coordinator with Aspirus Wausau Hospital.
Binge drinking is having 4 or more drinks in a 2 to 3 hour setting for men and 3 or more drinks for women in the same time period.
Minsberg says it can help to set a personal limit, stay hydrated, eat well, offer non-alcoholic drinks if you're hosting, plan transportation in advance, and if you've been drinking, please let someone else handle the fireworks. And the entry process is now open for the Dairy Cattle Show at the World Dairy Expo. It's one of the highlights of the event every year. 1,600 people bring their animals to Madison to showcase some of the best cattle in the country. That includes adult and youth competitions. All the entries are due by September 3rd. And that's what you need to know on this July 5th. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Matthew Perry had over $1.5 million in his personal bank account at the time of his death. People magazine reports that the late actor wanted his items to be put in an account named the Alvy Singer Living Trust. Alvy Singer was the name of Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. His full list of assets has not yet been disclosed. An investigation into Perry's death by the LAPD, DEA, and U.S. Postal Inspector is nearing a conclusion. There is nothing like being on a reality competition show as a celebrity contestant and then wanting nothing to do with it. Such is the case with Jason Mraz. He told Jesse Tyler Ferguson on his Dinners on Me podcast that he thought he would only be part of the show for 2 or 3 weeks before being voted off, but then realized he was one of the better dancers and would be there the entire time. He says he missed his cat so much he wanted out and started asking his friends not to vote for him. Despite this, he still made it to the final round. Not a fan of cats, but I admire the conviction. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely today, and it will be mostly cloudy with a bit of clearing by late this afternoon. Our high 73, the wind northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight, clearing 59. Tomorrow, it will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Cincinnati dancing.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is off today. We'll be returning on Monday.
we're happy to have you here on this Friday, July 5th. We're happy to join us on the live stream. Hope happy you're joining us on the text. You can always text us more, live stream, comment on the live stream more. Go to your civic media app on your phone. Hit the click the call or the text line. You can also just give us a call or text, all the same number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we'd love to hear from you. But right now, most importantly, the very handsome, the very capable Mr. Luke Mathers joins us on this Friday, July 5th. Hello, Luke. What is going on with you today? How was your fourth?
My fourth was pretty low key. How was yours?
It was incredibly, it was low key as well. We didn't do anything yesterday. We're doing some stuff today. We're having people over this evening for dinner. So we did some cleaning. I did some lawn mowing and pre-burned my grill. I learned that. I didn't know that. I bought a brand new grill, and this guy at the farmer's market goes, he goes, "You got to pre-burn?" And I go, "Yeah, absolutely." And back of my head, I'm like, "I don't know what that means."
Just so like, yeah. Pre-burn. Greg gets home, immediately goes to Google. What is pre-burning a grill? Check.
Luke, I Googled that as I was walking away from the guy. And for those who don't know, basically when you get a new grill, you want to burn off any oils, any packing material. So you close it, turn it on high, let it sit for 15, 20 minutes, get really hot, open it up, scrub it down, done. But yeah, I felt like pre-burn your grill. I'm like, you know it, buddy. You absolutely know it.
I pre-burned it twice. You didn't get a new oven when you moved into the house, did you? Because we got a new oven and they told us the same exact thing, where you got to make sure that you get all any of the residue, chemicals, anything like that. Yeah. You got to run those appliances, grills, ovens, stoves. You want to use them, like run them before you actually use them, because you don't want your first steaks, your first brats or anything like that to get that new grill taste. Like a new car smell is good, but new grill taste doesn't taste good if you don't burn it off beforehand.
Why does this brat taste like user manual? I don't understand. This is gross.
I didn't know we ordered packing peanut flavored brats. What is going on? Yeah, styrofoam, all of those things. You don't want that to get into the food.
So earlier in the show, in the first hour, we were discussing fireworks and I was being very old man, and I understand that. And if you want to call me an American or a grump, I'm fine with that. But we have a new puppers. She's 10 months old. You have a new dog as well. She's even younger than Maybell. How do your dogs do with the fireworks?
So a number of years ago when we first took Remy, we were like, he had been okay with them from a distance. So we took him to like an actual fireworks. That didn't turn out very well. We ended up, instead of watching the show, we did a brisk walk / jog away from the Shake the Lake that was taking place on Lake Monona. So we don't go to the fireworks anymore. Aurora seemed pretty chill. She has not experienced a fireworks show. She's only 6 months old. But plenty of neighbors firing off individual fireworks themselves in their backyards or on the street over the last several days, honestly. Like since last week, Sunday, we've been having just kind of one-off fireworks. First, she was kind of just like, what is that? And for the most part, she's been okay. But my mother-in-law's dog, she's a little bit old. She's about Maybell's age. She absolutely hates them. There's a thunder coat involved. There's earmuffs involved. Like, it's a lot.
People talked to me about the thunder coat, and I was like, I want to get her a thunder coat, but she also won't even keep a bandana from the groomers on her. So I can imagine, like, she has a little, we bought her, we're so dumb or dorky or whatever you want to call us. We bought her a little robe for after baths. She's like, no, I'm going to tear this thing apart. I'm not wearing this. I'm a dog.
Calvin, you've got dogs. How do your dogs do for the fireworks?
My older lab does not do well. He cowers and trembles. My younger corgi, she doesn't particularly like it, but she's does okay.
Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah, she Maybell doesn't. She's not like scared. She's not trembling or afraid. She's just wondering what is going on.
What was that?
Yeah, we were, I mean, I was telling Calvin earlier, and I was telling the listeners, we were surrounded by them. It felt like they were on all sides of the house, and they went from about 8:30 last night to midnight, at least. I fell asleep because I just had to go to bed. And the funniest part of it is I took Maybelle out for a walk this morning. I'm walking her, and it's nice out. It's cool out. And I noticed just a pile of burnt-out firework boxes, tubing.
That's not cool. Yeah.
Packaging. Under power lines.
Yeah, that doesn't right. seem the safest. Like that I feel like is worthy of a grouchy old man. What are these kids doing these days? Kind of thing. This year in particular wasn't too bad into the late into the night. I forget if it was last year or the year before. We had just fireworks going off until like 1 or 2 in the morning. So it was bad a couple of years back. This one, honestly, nothing to complain about too hard. And if you are going to choose to fire off some fireworks, clean up after yourselves. I get it. You got to leave them out there when they're hot and they're used right away. You can't really clean them up then, but you should take the time before the next morning, really. Give it some time to cool off, but pick them up, people. Come on.
And also, you know, pick up your tiny empty booze bottles next to those fireworks, too. They're just... leave it how you found it. That's how I say it. Just leave it how you found it. Matt Germantown texted us to say our husky won't go outside after dark now for a few months because of them. She now is scared of the outside. This happens every year. Oh my goodness.
Well, dogs are smart too. So when they're realizing that there's something out there that scares them or startles them, they're gonna avoid it. And so that's I'm sure very typical for a lot of dog owners where they see an advertence to going outside even after dark. But I don't understand the people firing them off either at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
What are you gaining by that? Like, why is there a firework going off at 4 p.m.? Like, you can't even see it. And it's like, what's going on? But it's the 4th of July. So I have a feeling there's going to be more this weekend, too, Greg.
Hey, Kevin, how much did that firework cost you lit off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? It was a $30 firework. You might just burn a 20 and a 10 next time. Or just give me...
this one went boom. Like, I got the fire and it went boom.
You're absolutely... I'm sorry. I stand corrected. It went boom. Oh, boom. I mean, Luke, I'm not kidding you. It wasn't, you know, Stars and Stripes Forever fireworks. It was kabooms that scared me.
Oh, geez.
Like, are these lighting up 9 a.m. right now?
Are you living next to a park? Was there a fireworks show, like a sanctioned show? No, this was the neighborhood just having a good old time.
Literally blowing off steam. Literally blowing off fireworks and hopefully not there.
As long as there's the police sirens, maybe to come tamp down, but ambulance is coming, and you know, people are losing digits and stuff. That's not fun. But do you remember like 4 years ago during the pandemic when it was kind of like a free for all and there was really, it felt like there were no restrictions. Like obviously cities weren't hosting events for the fireworks like you traditionally do. So people just went and bought a ton of fireworks and just neighbors on the same street competing, just firing off as much as they could. Like, I remember going over to a close friend's house during like the socially distancing. We were outside, we were grilling, trying to keep the spread of COVID from anybody catching it. But we were all outside and we were doing fireworks, and the entire neighborhood just fireworks as far as the eye could see. There was no city that was hosting them, but just each neighborhood just firing off their own sets of fireworks was pretty wild. I remember in 2020.
Because by July of 2020, we needed to feel something. We needed to just feel a feeling. And that's the thing is like, I'm wondering, I swear to God, we'll get to Super Pigs. I was wondering, you know, in 2020, there was this thing of like, you know, let's just set them off and we'll just, you know, we're making best of what we got and, you know, everything. And this is a movie in America. Woo, we almost did it. But this almost felt like, I don't know, like not mean, but like, well, yeah, we're doing it and you're going to have to deal with it. We're all doing it. And we're going to light off weapon grade fireworks too. You're going to wonder whose house is on fire right now. It's just, it seemed, fireworks with an agenda. That's what it felt like.
There you go. I feel like that's like a name for something, right? Fireworks with an agenda. Like,
Luke, I feel like every fireworks store from the Illinois state line to Appleton could be called fireworks with an agenda.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're never called like Stars and Stripes Forever. They're called Rocking the Free World in Your Face. You know, they're always aggressively named.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a subtle way to name a fireworks store in any regard.
You can pry it from my four-fingered hand.
It's not Sparklers Are Us. It's yeah. Definitely we're gonna go to war with these fireworks. Firework War Emporium, and that seems to be where your neighbors seem to go to that one in particular this year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They all get a discount apparently. Once again, got on my old man soapbox. Just right next to me, is right there.
It's okay. It's a free for all day. You're filling it. You're doing a tremendous job filling in for Jane. She's got the time that she can go and unwind, and you're doing an excellent job. But you could talk about whatever you want. That's the beauty of it.
Does anyone remember the New Monkees? No, I'm kidding. You brought this to me, so I want to give a little context, and maybe we'll give the context now. We can talk about it in the following blog. We can talk about the fact that. You and Jane a while ago, I was sick, I believe, and you were bored in the show, and you guys got into a discussion about, was it super goats?
There was a story of so genetically modified animals and invasive species are fascinating to me. Like, I just find these stories when they pop up very interesting. Yeah. And when Jane and I were doing the show, this was several months back now, there was a story about a man in Wyoming, I believe, or Montana, somewhere out west, that was he was arrested by the FBI for importing the DNA of a like Himalayan goat, like this like massive goat that is like illegal to hunt there, but somebody got the DNA. I don't know if it was blood or other kind of DNA. To be like, I don't know what the way the story made it sound, it wasn't blood. It was the DNA of a different kind. And so they like made these like super goats out in Montana that could be then hunted on this mega rich person's ranch, and they could invite them in, and they were like breeding and then crossbreeding. It was really weird, but stories like that fascinate me, and Jane seemed to get a kick out of it too. And there was the whole, you know, FBI raiding this goat farmer. It was a weird story, Greg, but fascinating.
Okay, so with that being said, you have found yet another mutated X-Men reject animal story. Because all I imagine now is like the super goats that were Himalayan. They're crossbreeding them, and just all of the wrong versions are just roaming the land trying to eat the grass, but they have half a face of a goat and half a face of Marv, who we don't know how Marv got in the mix. But Marv is the caretaker of the property. You know, that's what in my brain thinks. So when we return, we're going to talk about the next level of mutation animals with Luke Mathers, the very handsome, the very capable. You are listening to Mad and Air on Air, Greg Bach sitting in for Jane today. Call us, text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you. Stay close. Stay near. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dancing bears and kangaroos have a lot on the ball. But until you dig that remarkable pig, you ain't a seen or nothing at all. From Duluth to Birmingham, he's the pork chop dapper Dan. He's the keenest ham or am, Cincinnati dancing pig. Yeah, there's a riggedy, jiggedy, 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 riggedy, jiggedy.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776 has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to Matt and Aaron here. You are listening. Whoop, I hit the microphone there. It's a very sensitive microphone. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who is off today. We'll be returning on Monday. You can get a hold of us by simply giving us a call or sending a text. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It's easier, though, Luke, if they just get the Civic Media app already. My goodness, it's free. It's fair. It's amazing. You can just press buttons and text us that way. You can also leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, X, Twitter, YouTube, whatever you call it.
I like to call YouTube. That one's good. They didn't try to change the branding, which was great.
I'm calling all of the social media X and only Twitter. That's what I'm unstoppable. I'm irascible. I'm an old man. I'm wearing my old man shorts today. They're cargo. I'm going to grill out. So we were talking about before with the very handsome, very capable Luke Mathers, who is our guest in the last half hour of the show. We were talking about super mutated animals and the breeding therein. But before, and he brought a article about super pigs, but Kelvin, you said you have a clip on this that you wanted to play for us, so why don't you go ahead and play that clip?
Thank you, Mr. Mackey, students of South Park Elementary. I'm here to educate you about the single biggest threat to our planet. You see, there is something out there which threatens our very existence and may be the end to the human race as we know it. I'm talking, of course, about Man-Bear Pig.
Half man, half bear, half pig.
That's a very big man bear pig. That reminds me of a joke from Caddyshack 2. My mother was 50% Polish, 50% Jewish, 50% German. That's 150%. She was a very big lady. I can listen to Trey Parker do voices all day long. I'm not a huge fan of South Park, I will admit that, but I love listening to him do any voiceover work I can get my hands on. So, Luke, tell us about super pigs.
Well, it's fascinating. And like the first time I ever like learned about an invasive species was zebra mollusks, and you like their taking over of the Great Lakes was a huge problem. There's a international effort to clean them up. And so like that's kind of the first invasive species that I, as then probably a child, teenager, learning about in the Great Lakes, it's wild to all of a sudden learn that North America is not, a pig is not native to North America. Mm. And so this article over at the Associated Press, I found a while ago, but anytime, like if I'm trying not to like talk about politics or work, or like I kind of want to like have a conversation starter with somebody that I don't necessarily know all that well, but I'm like, this is a fascinating thing. I go back to this article, Greg, because it's wild to think like super pigs is just like one of those things where you don't think, oh, a feral hog problem. Sure. If you live out in like Saskatchewan, maybe that's an issue for you in Canada, where they're actually literally taking over. Like they can't eradicate them. They are too large of a population for some of the more northern Canadian provinces because they thrive in the winter. And so they eat anything. They do this like billions of dollars of damage to U.S. crops alone. These feral hogs, like, it is insane to think about super pig. And these pigs have been then, it's hard to get rid of them. So scientists are trying to figure out how to track them and how to try to clamp down on their population. And so scientists have been working to try to get pigs, like sleeper cell pigs almost, where they send a pig into
a movie.
It's insane to think about. It sounds like science fiction, and it sounds so absurd. But this is such a major problem that they've tried to address. And then the super pigs are just like the genetically modified pigs to track the other pigs, like, escape these Canadian labs, and like, it's this huge.
I'm sorry.
It's wild. So they have this whole program trying to like clamp down on what the feral pig population is doing to not just Canada anymore. Like, they are in the United States, in Minnesota, all the way down to Texas. Like, this is a huge, huge issue across the continent.
They're getting on school boards.
Not to that extent, but they're it's wild to think about, and it's crazy that and pigs are very smart, Greg.
Yes, they
like
are.
They're extremely extremely smart. Yeah. So if we're making them smarter, and then they're breeding, and then they're only getting smarter, I'm worried that man bear pig may just be like a joke on South Park, but these super pigs are doing something else.
You know, if I didn't know you and I just met you at a bar,
right? It would be really weird.
No. You would sound insane.
You would be like, walking away from the conversation, and you'd start a new tab next to what is your burn? How do you burn off a grill? And be like, what is super pig? Enter on Google. Like, you would.
I'd be like looking around, like, does anybody here believe in flat earth? Because this guy's insane. I can't talk to him. Well, that's the theme of the show. Democracy is alive and well in the UK, and watch out for super pigs if you're in Canada and or the United States, because they're everywhere. Tony's 50% man, 50% bear, 50% pig. Luke, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you having you here on the show. Calvin, thank you so much for all the things you do for the show. You are absolutely fantastic. I adore you, my friend. Like I said before, Jane will be back on Monday. Joe Biden will be in Wisconsin today. Civic Media, I assume, will be covering it. I'm at home.
Civic
right
Media
now.
Is covering it.
We are covering it. All right, cool. Yep. What time? You know what time he's going on?
It's sometime in the 1 o'clock hour is the anticipated time the president will speak here in Madison. Okay. And you will break in live coverage for the Todd Alba show, and the Devil's Advocates will be live as well for that coverage.
Excellent. Well, and if you want, go to civicmedia.us and you can listen to Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. He did interview President Biden, one of the only interviews he's given since the debate last week. You can find all the information on civicmedia.us. You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast, listen to us later, and hang around, because we got Todd Alba after this. We got the news coming up, and then the Todd Alba Show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the call, text, the live stream comments. We could not do this without you. You are wonderful. And as Jane always says, I hope you find some joy today, and I hope you have a chance to share it. Keep listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Matt Nair on air. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Introducing the new Sushi Lover Madison. Indulge in all-you-can-eat sushi or hibachi at an amazing price. Now open at Westtown Mall for lunch or dinner. Experience stunning decor with a beautiful water fountain, captivating oriental artwork, and a welcoming atmosphere. Their skilled chefs create each sushi roll fresh and made to order. Visit today at 72 Westtown Mall and satisfy your cravings. For menus and a full list of locations, visit SushiLoverWI.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.